Hello, hello. This is Kate Ryder, and you are listening to The Sweet Release here at Skid Row Studios, Real Radio on the Internet. So I am very excited tonight, and not just because this is my first show, but I am wearing vibrating panties throughout the entire show, and we're going to do a review on them later. Really, I'm excited because this is, you know, it's my first show, and I want to use it as a way to share my most intimate sex adventures with you. And my most motivation for the show is to really step outside my comfort zone and to really be my true self on the air and to connect with you on a completely different level. I want you guys to really know me. And honestly, I'm your normal girl who loves sex and I love talking about it. And those panties are getting kind of strong. Okay, so really, we're going to have a lot of guests on the show. We're going to do toy reviews. I'm going to have some sex news. And then I'm going to tell some personal stories every now and then. And I would love to get you guys interested. I would love to have you guys send me some emails or some Facebook posts. And then I'll share your stories too. I think it'd be really cool. But I want to take this first show to really have you guys get to know who I am as a person and to know where I came from and where my sexuality came from. So we're going to go ahead and start with that. And for starters, you know, I'm 27 years old and I work for a email marketing company. And I basically, you know, I work for this company that comes up with all these videos and these how-to videos for men. And, it's, you know, how to squirting mastery, rear entry made easy, female mind mastery. We basically use porn stars. We make these sexual education videos and we send them out to all these guys on my mailing list. And it's great. I get them off every day, and that's what I do, and it's awesome. I actually went on set. It was a few weeks ago, actually. It was the first time I was able to go on set, and I got to watch a few porn stars fuck. And this was the very first time that I got to watch sex happen, like, right in front of my face. And, you know, it's weird because I'm in this room, and they're being filmed, so they're supposed to be, you know, they know they're being watched. You're supposed to watch them. But I felt almost uncomfortable sometimes, like, I was watching and I'm like, am I staring too much? Am I staring at her vagina? Am I staring at his dick? Oh, balls. Those are balls. Like, you know, and you just don't know, like, if you're allowed to look or not. Like, and it took me a while to kind of get comfortable with it. And my boss actually sent me a text and was like, hey, you're looking a little flushed there, Kate. You okay? I was like, yep, I'm fine. And I had to walk out because I got so turned on and I got so hot that, like, I felt like I was going to explode. I mean, that's basically my job. It's really fun. Most of it's on the writing side. I don't get to go on set very often. So people kind of ask me all the time where my sexuality came from. And to be honest, I don't have the perfect answer for you. I do know it started when I was, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. I used to masturbate in front of people. And when I say that, you're probably very taken back. Like, what do you mean you used to masturbate in front of people? And when I say that, I don't mean, like, you know, I got undressed and I started rubbing my pussy like a crazy person. I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew it felt good. So, you know, people would be around and I'd get on my hands and knees and I would take the palm of my hand and I'd press it into my vagina as hard as possible. And then all of a sudden I'd feel this tingling sensation. And obviously that was an orgasm, but to me, I didn't know that was an orgasm. So I was like, oh, this feels really good. I'm going to continue doing this. So I did, and I did it a lot, and I did it in front of people because I didn't realize what I was doing. And my mom actually took me to the doctor, and she thought something was wrong with me, and my doctor was like, nope, nothing wrong with her. She's just experimenting with herself. And I think for, you know, for mothers, it's difficult to see their daughter do that because usually it's the little boys that have that issue, you know. And, like, I've heard, you know, some of my guy friends tell me these stories. Sorry, it's good speed right now. So I've had, like, my guy friends tell me these stories, you know, about their childhood and being walked in on when they are masturbating at such a young age. And for girls, you don't hear that story too often. You really don't. So after that, you know, here comes high school. And in high school, I feel like the majority of girls that you that you meet, high school is used to experiment and it's to date and you know, to figure out who you are. And I grew up in a very strict household. I come from a Middle Eastern family. I'm the oldest daughter. So I never got to experiment any of that. I couldn't even go to football games. I couldn't talk to guys on the phone. I couldn't go on dates, nothing. So I didn't really have that chance to kind of experiment. Like, the most, you know, the most I would do is I got finger banged a few times. I gave a few really shitty hand jobs. I'm assuming they're shitty because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And one of my favorite things to do was go into Yahoo chat rooms. And, you know, you go into the chat room and you post something like, oh, 5'6", brunette, my name is Jane, I want to fuck. And it's like, you know, you say all these things about yourself that are obviously not true, but you have this image of yourself, and the guy that responds to you has this image of yourself, and you start cybering and you talk dirty and it's awesome. And, you know, but that's as far as I got in high school. I didn't really do all those other things. I had this senior actually ask me out, and I was really excited that I couldn't say no. And for a second, I kind of forgot that I wasn't allowed to date. So I said yes. And then my best friend at the time was like, hey, what are you going to do? You got to go on a date, right? And I'm like, yeah. So she ended up setting up her entire backyard for me. She put candles and she put lights. And him and I went out there and we stared at the, you know, the moon and the stars and just kind of try to talk to each other and enjoy ourselves. And it was great. I felt really happy about it. And a couple of days later, her mom and my mom spoke. And I guess her mom didn't really know the extent of how strict my parents were. So she's like, oh, you know, Kate was on this date in our backyard the other day and it was so cute and blah, blah, blah. And my mom's like, excuse me? My daughter was what? You know? And she was like, that's it. She calls me. I had to go home. And my mom made me call this guy and break up with him over the phone. I was humiliated. I was mortified. It was awful. But, you know, that's how it was for me when I was growing up. They, you know, put all these restrictions on me. And it was crazy because my parents were total opposites, actually. You know, my dad was total stoner, did everything you weren't supposed to do. He got a shitty pirate tattoo when he was 16. You know, he was always getting into trouble. And then my mom, you know, she was very submissive. She would cut class to go see a movie. Who does that? Nobody does that. If you're going to cut class, you're going to go do something exciting, you know. But that's where they came from. That's how our families were. And together, they just put all these crazy restrictions on me, and I wasn't able to experience my sexuality at that young of an age. And seeing all these people, all these kids now, it was probably for the better. You know, I'm not upset with them about it. It's just, and I don't think that it's a reason for the way I am now sexually. I just really enjoy being, you know, being sexual. And the very first time I had sex, I was 18 years old. It was at the end of my senior year, and I wanted to have sex so bad before I graduated. I don't know what my obsession was. I just really wanted to do it. So I asked one of my good friends to have sex with me. I was like, can you just have sex with me? I want to know what it's like. So he agreed. And one day he came over, my parents weren't home, and we just kind of went for it. Like, you know, there was no passion, there was no romance. It was just take your pants off, I'll take mine off, and we'll go, we'll do this. He was black, and everything they say is true. He was huge. He was so huge. I didn't even know what to do with it. He put the tip in, and I backed out. I'm like, what the fuck? This is not okay. No, it's not okay at all. And I told him, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. I can't handle this. He's like, no, it's fine. No hard feelings. No hard feelings, you know. And it was what it was. And I just feel like so many girls at that age have this, you know, idea that having sex with someone for the first time is going to be beautiful and they're going to share this experience together and their vagina is going to smell like roses and Truly Madly Deeply by Savage Garden is going to be playing in the background. It's not like that at all. It's always really bad, you know. For the most part, your vagina probably smells and then the guy that's fucking you has no idea what he's doing. So the whole experience is just really terrible. But, you know, I think that's the beauty of it. I really do. That's the beauty of it. That's the way you learn. You know, it makes for great storytelling and you learn as you go. It really wasn't until after high school when I started having sex. I met this guy and he became my boyfriend for about 3 years. But we didn't really experiment sexually as much as I would have liked to now when I look back at it. But I think at that age, I didn't really understand sexuality. I didn't know how far into it you can go. I didn't know what to experiment with. I was kind of just having your regular sex and I thought that's what sex was, you know? So, you know, we experimented with anal sex a few times, but I wasn't really into it. And then he brought up the idea of threesomes and this was probably maybe like 2 years into our relationship. This vibrator is getting to me. So, you know, about 2 years into our relationship and he brings up the threesome thing and I was really against it because I was like, I cannot watch the man I love with another woman. You know, I was so like stern on that. And then I was like, no, it's okay. Like, this is just for fun. It's just for fun. I got this. I can do it. So we had about three threesomes, I think it was. And that's when I started to realize that I was more into these women than I was my boyfriend. So that's kind of the thing that brought out me being bisexual, which I am. I love women. I think they're gorgeous. I think they're amazing. Their bodies, their structure, their everything about them. And it took me, you know, a few threesomes to realize that, holy shit, I love women. So that was a big part in my life, a big changing point in my life. And it couldn't have come at a better time, because when that happened, one of my good friends was also bisexual. So we would go to class, we'd have our classes together, and, you know, I would call my boyfriend and be like, hey, babe, you know, we got to study, we've got a big test. I'd go to our house and we'd lock our door, and we would watch this lesbian teenage series called South of Nowhere. And it's like a bunch of high school kids that are all lesbians, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their vaginas, basically. So we would watch the show, and we would get so turned on, and we would start fucking. And that was it. That's what we used to do. We did it probably twice a week. And then eventually she surprised me with a strap-on. And let me tell you, for girls who've never used a strap-on, if you don't know how to use one, you should probably not use one. Watching her try to plow me with this thing was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It was hard. It was uncomfortable. It was purple. Like, she comes out and she's trying to surprise me and be sexy, and she's got like this purple dick attached to her vagina. So, of course, I'm laughing, and I just can't take it seriously. So, you know, we weren't in the moment at that point. I was like, I just want to try this dick on. So she lets me try it on, and we're just cracking up over it. But, you know, that's kind of like the basis of as far as growing up, where my sexuality started coming from, and I started experimenting. Eventually, my boyfriend and I broke up. He didn't know about the cheating. The three of us actually had a threesome, and it was amazing. We got a hotel, and her and I got super drunk, and we kind of went for it. But he didn't know that, you know, her and I were messing around before then. And you know, after we broke up, I went a little insane, and it wasn't in a bad way. It wasn't like I was trying to slit my wrists or I was going crazy and stalking him. It was more of, I've been with this guy for 3 years. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what else was out there. I didn't know the types of sex that was out there. And I kind of wanted to see what I was like standing by myself and being on my own. So I did that. And eventually, I finished college and I moved to New York. And in college, nothing really happened. I went to a commuter school, so it was very quick. Everything happened very fast. I kind of just got in and got out. And when I moved to New York, that's kind of where everything started to happen very quickly. I got really into my writing, and everything I wrote, I wanted to experience. So I would do things, even though I knew they weren't that great, I would do things just to write about them. And I got to tell you, I've got some stories for you, but you'll hear them later on in my episodes. I read this book. It's called Change Your Mind, 57 Ways to Unlock Your Creative Self. There was a quote, and it read, "The mind needs to meander and roam. With freedom, it ends up in unusual places, creating new worlds, new ideas, and new inventions." I love this quote, and I really took it to heart. And when I say I took it to heart, I mean I took it to a whole other level. I used my body to roam. And I swear to you, if I could rewrite that book, I would entitle it Change Your Body, 57 Ways to Unlock Your Inner Slut. And I'm not saying I slept with 57 guys. Probably 56. No, but in all seriousness, my actual sex count's pretty low, and I'm really proud of that. I'm very experimental, but I experimented with people that I was with for a long time. You know, I didn't just try to fuck anything that had legs and anything that walked. I wasn't like that. But in New York, you know, I lived my life in New York like any other 25, 26-year-old would live their life in New York. You know, I'd get blown out and I'd have these crazy gay dance-offs with a bunch of gay men. I would get high on rooftops and, you know, I'd get so drunk and I'd fall asleep on the subway until the sun came up. Like, that was my life and I loved it. Eventually, though, you know, I went broke and I had to move back to California. But I was just so intrigued by people. I was so fascinated. I even joined dating websites just to meet people and to experience what other people wanted out of their life and what other people did in their life. I was just so intrigued. I always wanted to know more. Here I am, Kate Ryder. I've got my own radio show. I couldn't be happier to be sharing all this stuff with you. And now that I have completely bared my soul for you guys, I need to pour another drink. I'm drinking whiskey. I hope that you guys have something to drink. It is Super Bowl Sunday, so hopefully most of you guys are drunk. I don't know. But we're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about how a butt plug was decided to play hide-and-go-seek with my asshole. It's a really funny story. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you soon. This is Kate Ryder. You're listening to The Sweet Release here at Skid Row Studios, and we'll be right back. Ryder, you're listening to The Sweet Release here at Skid Row Studios. So I hope you guys poured yourselves a drink. I've got mine. Cheers to you, and cheers to this being my first show. I'm really excited. And this vibrator is really getting me excited too. Okay, so as promised, I have a great story about an anal plug going wrong. And I've got Jeremy in the other side there, and he's going to join me with this one, you know?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, good guy. All right, so I don't know if you're welcome. I don't know if the women that are listening have actually used an anal plug or a butt plug. You can call it many things. Or if men have used it on your women. But they come in all different shapes and sizes. Well, I mean, I guess the shapes are all pretty normal, but the sizes are always different. I decided I wanted to try an anal plug because I've never done it before. And I used to watch a lot of anal porn. And I was like, well, let's try it. Why not? So the guy I was dating at the time, we went to this place and we decided that we were going to go ahead and try one out. And there was probably three or four different ones. Like, there's some small ones and some bigger ones. And, you know, I decided to go for the smaller one because I wasn't really sure. The other ones looked really intimidating.
But at this point, you've already experimented anally and you know that you like anal play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it took me a while to kind of warm up to it. With the first guy I told you about, you know, we tried anal a few times and I wasn't really digging it, to be honest with you. It was kind of weird for me. But after a while, I started to get more comfortable and I started experimenting on myself, to be completely honest, and to see if I would like it. And
how'd you do that with vibrators?
With vibrators with my fingers. It was more of like, you know, I'm in a comfortable spot. I'm home. I'm by myself. I'm in the mood. Like, you know, what better way than to test the waters with yourself? If you don't like it, you don't like it. At least, you know, someone else is not there to be like, sorry, I don't like this. And then they get turned off, you know? So I kind of trained myself to really enjoy it. And then, you know, I just did. I loved it.
Can you come just anally?
No, I need a little bit of clit stimulation, but I do get really wet by anal. But by itself, no, I can't do it by myself. I even with sex, like I need to have, you know, inner and outer stimulation. And I think that's normal for most women. I think the majority of women actually can't come by just intercourse. And that's what, you know, vibrators are for and your hands are for and experimenting is for. There's nothing wrong with that. I feel like so many guys get so turned off. I remember dating this one guy and I asked to bring a vibrator into the room and he was like, am I not good enough for you? What's wrong with me? Is my dick not big enough? Like, he got so pissed. And we broke it off because he was so uncomfortable with the idea.
That's a boring guy.
Yeah. So I really, you know, I just think it depends on the guy and it depends on yourself. But I don't know. I like anal. I think it's great. And I think that if you are comfortable with it and you are willing to try it, everybody would like it. You should definitely try this at home.
So you know you love anal at this point. You're looking to step it up a little bit.
I am. And I didn't know how. So I'm like, let's just get an anal plug. It's kind of like DP, you know, like, but instead of, you know, getting a dildo and having someone, you know, have to worry about it. So it's like, I've got it. And I'm like trying to go in and out, like worry about that while being on top or, you know, while trying to have sex, it gets very distracting. And same thing for the guy, you know. The guy's like worrying about this dildo coming in and out of your ass while they're trying to fuck you. It's very distracting. So an anal plug is like, it's perfect because you just put it in, it just chills there, and you do your thing, and that's that. So, you know, we go to the store, and we pick the small one out, and we take it home. And a few days later, we decide we're going to use it. So the way it starts out, you know, after messing around, obviously, he's like, all right, I want to try this. So he pulls it out, bends me over against the bed, and he puts it on in.
And you lube it up though, right?
Of course, yes. You need a lot of lube. Please use lube. I'm telling you. Don't spit either. Like, I don't know what the obsession is with spitting on your asshole.
But that's a porn thing.
It is a porn thing, and it's totally fine. It's hot. But if I'm not lubed up enough, I don't want you spitting. I want you to pour a bottle of lube in my ass. Like, that's just how it needs to be.
Yeah, the anal isn't something you skimp on the lube.
No, it's really not. It's really not. You know, put it on the anal plug, do whatever you gotta do. Just make it go in there very easily. But the best way to compare, I mean, I guess this is the only way I can compare it to. If a woman feels, you know, the anal plug going in, at first you feel it. You feel that pressure and you're kind of like, oh, like, this feels good, kind of. And then you're not sure. And then it goes all the way in and you kind of like, oh, okay. And then you take a deep breath and then you don't even really feel it. It's kind of like women putting tampons in, like women who are listening, you know, you feel it going in. You're just like, oh, I got to get it in the right angle. And then as soon as it goes in, you don't feel it anymore. And it's kind of like how butt plugs are. I guess if you're using like, you know, ginormous ones, I like that word, ginormous. I know it's not a real word, but if you use like huge ones, obviously it's a different story. But if you're using like a decent size one, that's exactly what it feels like. So he puts it in and, you know, we start messing around and teasing each other, slapping my ass a little bit. And we decide, let's have sex. You know, it's in there. Let's do it. So we're doing missionary position. I'm on my back, and he gets on top of me, and we're going at it for maybe, I don't know, 7 minutes or so. And all of a sudden, like, I felt this weird pain in my lower back. And I was like, what? Like, what is that? And so I thought maybe, you know, it was just positioned it the wrong way. We're starting to come out, and, like, I was starting to feel it. So I reached around and I was like, oh, I'm going to just reposition this for a second. And I reach around and I realize that it's gone.
Sharp pains are not a good sign.
No, this anal plug, butt plug, whatever the fuck you want to call it, totally gone. So he's like, oh, maybe it fell out. So he's looking all over the bed for it and can't find it anywhere. And then I reach my hand again and I realize that it got sucked up by my anal cavity. Just totally like took in the whole anal plug. So here I am like freaking out, like, holy shit, get this out of me. What do I do?
What was your panic like? Did you start getting frantic? Did you move slowly because you were scared that it was going to go deeper? Or, you know, what was the initial physical reaction to?
It was everything. Like, I was frantic because, like, the first thing that came to mind was like, oh my God, I have to go to the hospital. I never expected in a million years for me to be in a hospital because something got stuck up my ass.
So emergency room.
Exactly.
Butt and then plug.
How do you explain that to your mother? Like, you call your mom and be like, hey mom, can you come get me? I'm sorry. I have a, you know, massive hospital bill. I got something stuck up my ass. Like, that's not something you ever want to explain to your mother. And it's not something you want to come to terms with either. And, you know, that's what happened. I was laughing hysterically. Then I started crying. Then I started shaking. Then I started getting mad. I just wanted this thing out of me so bad. So he says, all right, you know what? We got this. It's fine. So I'm laying down on my back and he says, babe, I need you to relax. It's like, okay. He's like, just take deep breaths. At this point, I'm like, am I giving birth? Like, I felt like I was giving birth. So he goes in and he's using probably like three fingers trying to pull this thing out. And all I feel is his fingers going in me. And I'm like, I can't, like, this hurts. I don't know what to do.
So he's almost fisting your ass.
Basically almost fisting my ass. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. I just wanted a little baby butt plug to have fun with. You know, this thing turned into a total nightmare. So, you know, after a few minutes, I told him to give up. And we just kind of laid there laughing. And then I started crying again. And I was just so, like, distraught. I didn't know what to do. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? I got this. Got this. I can do this. So I get on my hands and knees, like on all fours, and I start to push. And then I'm pushing, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wait a second. So I look over at my boyfriend at the time. I'm like, hey, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I am so sorry if anything happens. This is going to be the worst image you ever see of me. And I'm sorry if I shit the bed or I fart. Like, you know, it's like any.
I just think it's funny that you have a large piece of plastic shoved up your ass.
I know. But
then you're worried about, you know, offending your boyfriend. That's just so sweet of you.
I know, because there's so many intimate things. Like, no guy wants to see their girl fart or shit, for example. And then you shit their bed. It's
shitting the bed's pretty bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he sees that. And then what? Like, yeah, I'm sorry, babe. This isn't going to work for me anymore.
Hey,
you know?
By the way, I just want to say that if anyone wants to comment on the anal butt plug story, our number is 1-800-893-9562. If you have any questions for Kate Ryder and what it's like to get a butt plug lost in your ass.
Oh, man, this was a great story. So, you know, eventually I got it out. I pushed so hard and I finally got it out. But the first time I tried, you know, one of the flaps came out and then I was like, oh, I got this. And I go to try to pull the other one out and it just goes right back up. It was like a black hole and it was like, nope, I'm keeping it here. And, you know,
it's almost like a suction at that point. Like, your ass turns into a human suction.
Jeremy, I know that you're a man.
Yes.
Put something up your ass, I guarantee you, it's like a suction.
Oh, wow.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. But, you know, eventually I got it out, and when I did, I was so relieved, and I threw this thing across the room, and it hit the wall so hard. And I, you know, I wanted to bring it in so I can show you what it looked like, but it was thrown away, unfortunately. And I'm kind of glad, because the thing was really scary.
So eventually you had to do, like, just a massive squat and just force it out,
yep.
Almost will it out. With your mind,
yep.
This thing has to come out of my ass.
Basically, yeah. And I was not about to go to the emergency room.
Because the embarrassment of going to the emergency room would have just been too great.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
I mean, it would have
sense.
Made for a great story. I would have loved to share that with you guys, but that just would not have been a good story for me and my mother.
And since this incident, have you tried other anal plugs?
No, not anal plugs, just anal sex. I've strayed away from the anal toys.
You've been spooked from any anal plugs?
That was really hard. That was really hard for me. I'm very nervous about trying other toys. I did just buy a anal hook. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's pretty much like a metal hook, and you can tie your girl up with it and then tie it upwards. It's really hard to explain. I will totally bring it in, though, and we'll have someone use it on the air because I think it'd be great. But I personally have not tried anything since then.
I was a little freaked out by the anal hook. That thing, it basically looks like a meat hook that you would find, like, cattle carcasses hanging from,
yeah.
But instead of a hook at the end, it's got a little ball.
Yep.
But otherwise, it's aesthetically the same exact thing as a meat hook, and you put this up your ass and, I don't know, hang from the ceiling or something.
It was funny because, you know, we bought this. I bought it, and Jeremy happened to be there, and, like, we're there, and he goes, like, just ask the girl. I'm like, he's like, show her a picture. I'm like, no, she'll know exactly what it is. I'm like, hey, ma'am. She goes, yeah. I'm like, do you have any anal hooks? And she's like, yeah, right over here. Cracking up, like cracking up. But
they had them in a nice display case.
They were. Oh, my God. Next to all these crazy little foot fetish toys, anything you can think of.
Why, yes, ma'am. Our anal hooks are right over here. Great.
Oh, goodness. So that was my story. And you know what? I really want to hear your stories. So If you follow me on Facebook, you can just do the sweet release on Facebook, and I'll post some stuff. I'll send an email. I'll make an email, actually, and you guys can email me with your stories. You can call in whenever you want, and it'll just be a fun environment to be personal and talk about really fun experiences. I think it'd be great.
You're going to have your Facebook page. You're going to have, I believe we set you up with some Twitter.
Yes.
For the sweet release.
Yes.
We also, your show's is already on iTunes.
It is on iTunes. You can check it out whenever.
A huge amount of downloads on your promo, which is great. That's something we love to see here at Skid Row Studios. So, check out Kate Ryder and the sweet release.
Yep. I'm right here at Skid Row Studios. I'm so glad you guys are listening in, whoever's listening in. We're going to take another break, and when we get back, I've got some crazy sex news to share with you. So, this should be very interesting. We'll see you soon, all right? Welcome back. This is Kate Ryder. You're listening to The Sweet Release here at Skid Row Studios, real radio on the internet. So I've got some interesting sex news for you. And this is something I want to do on every show. When I find something really cool or really crazy, like I want to share it, especially if it's in the news. Before I get into that, I don't know if you've actually heard, I don't know what his name is, but everybody calls him the Swiss cheese dude. He had this obsession with putting Swiss cheese on his dick. So he'd drive around, and there was like this, I don't know if there was a video, I have to post it. Check it on the Facebook, I'll post a video or an article or whatever so you can see what it is. But he was so turned on by this that he would open his window and like show, you know, when women would look at him, he would, you know, put a piece of Swiss cheese up on the window and be like, oh, hey, look at the Swiss cheese. And these women were like, what are you doing with the cheese? What is that? And then he'd pull out his dick and he'd flash everyone, and it was this huge thing. I don't know if you heard of it. I think it was maybe last month or 2 months ago or something. This guy was nuts. So, you know, anything that's sexual, that's in the news, that's crazy, that's wacky, I'm going to be sharing it. One of the big stories I want to share with you is vaginal knitting. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. This woman, her name is Casey Jenkins, and she's a feminist artist from Melbourne, Australia. And she spent 28 days knitting from wool that she put inside her vagina. When I first heard about vaginal knitting, I honestly thought it meant like knitting your pubic hairs. And I was kind of confused, cause I'm like, how is that possible? It's got to be like really long in order to do that. And then I was like, okay, maybe vaginal knitting, people just knit vaginas into scarves or something, you know? But I was wrong. This woman actually took a whole ball of yarn or wool yarn or whatever she used, puts it on the stick, she puts it up there, and she starts knitting with it. She, an exact quote from her was, Every day, I take a new skein of wool that's been wound so that it will unravel from the center, and I stick it up inside me. And then I pull it out and thread and knit. So she does this, and she does it in front of people. It's a huge show. It's called Casting Off My Womb. That's her project. I later found out that she also did this when she was on her period. I'm all for period sex, but period knitting? I'm not really sure how that works. I was very taken back, and that's why I wanted to share this with you.
Does it come out like tie-dye if you do that?
That's what I'm assuming. So I was going to say, you know, if you ever buy a scarf and it's tie-dyed with just red, you should probably maybe smell it or, like, really, you know, figure out where it came from, because it could have come from some woman's vagina while she was on her period. Yay, Red Wings. So basically, you know, I was reading a few articles on it, and she said that she actually gets aroused by doing it. And she said that some of these people that watch her, they it evokes like a fear and this repulsion in the people. And there's nothing she can do. If someone's uncomfortable, she can't move. Like, she literally has to stay still when she does this. And I actually watched the video, which I'll also post soon. And she's, you know, she's sitting there. She's got this little thing underneath her butt to hold her up. And she's not moving anything but her fingers. And she's just slowly, like, pulling out the yarn and doing her thing. It's crazy. And, you know, this entire story blew my mind, because the first thing I thought of was, how the hell does someone think of such an idea? I'm not bashing her idea. I think it's brilliant, actually. I would never do it personally. But I think it's a very creative idea. It's different. No one's ever done that, you know? And my other thing I wondered about was, how does she sanitize it? I feel like you can get, you know, yeast infection, bladder infection, some sort of infection by putting wool up your vagina. Like, that's not normal. So, you know, I'm trying to think about it, and I was like, you know, you use dildos and you use vegetables, maybe. I put a cucumber in my vagina once, you know, but I washed it with soap and water and, like, got it ready so it was clean before I did that. It's like, wool, how do you sanitize that? You can't. And I wish I could just speak to her and ask her, because I'm so interested. I'm so intrigued by this. So, I mean, really, I think it's pretty awesome. This came out, her whole thing went viral last month, like towards the end of December. And she got over 3.5 million views on her knitting video on YouTube. So you can watch it anywhere. Her name is Casey Jenkins from Melbourne, Australia. You can probably type in casting off my wound or vaginal knitting, and everything you can think of will come up. But she's on there, and she's just, it's incredible. Again, though, I would never think to put wool up my vagina to make a beanie, you know, to stay warm. Like, oh, hey, I'm going to use my vagina for this. It's just very interesting to me. And I guess really the moral of this news story is, next time you buy a scarf or next time you buy a beanie, just think carefully about where it came from, because it probably came from someone's vagina. I'm just saying. I don't know. But maybe it did. I don't know.
All beanies probably came from someone's vagina.
Exactly. It's just weird, right? Because I buy beanies all the time. So it's like I'm wearing someone's vagina on my head. It's so awesome. I don't know. Okay. So I want to take another break, because I need to refill my drink. And I'm guessing that you need to refill yours if you're drinking, or maybe you're drunk already. I hope you're enjoying yourself. Again, this is Kate Ryder. You're listening to The Sweet Release. At Skid Row Studios, when we get back, we are going to do a review on the vibrating panties that I'm wearing and on the Hitachi vibrator that I used in my promo. We're going to go ahead and talk about that, and I think it's going to be really fun. So we'll see you soon. Kate Ryder, Sweet Release. See you in a bit. She lives at the Dixborough's apartment. She is the one-eyed woman that is scary looking. One-eyed woman, something gave them Halloween. One-eyed woman, Dracula's queen. One-eyed woman. Welcome back. You are listening to The Sweet Release here with Kate Ryder at Skid Row Studios. So we're going to do a toy review. Well, I've got two toys. I got the Hitachi that I used on my promo, and I have the vibrating panties that I'm wearing right now that I'm going to take out. Jeremy's going to join me again since he's the one with the controller, so just give me 1 second while I just pull this thing out. All right. Okay, so this is what it looks like. And it's got these different, like, pulsating, you know, different pressures and different patterns of pulsating vibrations, basically.
We got this toy. We should mention where we got it. We got at the Pleasure Chest over in West Hollywood.
Yes.
Great toy store. The staff, they're super knowledgeable. You know, they'll talk to you about anything that you're looking to get into.
They're great. That's where I got the anal hook from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from my personal experience so far, I guess you can say I didn't care for it too much. The woman said that it was very strong, and to be honest, it's not that strong. There's maybe one out of, like, the eight pressures that were strong. I was really hoping that I was going to be able to have an orgasm for all of you, and that did not happen. I also think it has to do with my nerves. I'm not relaxed. I'm a little nervous and a little tense.
First show jitters.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I feel like this is just not strong enough. It's really not that great of a product, unfortunately, because I had high hopes for it.
Now, do you feel like you're someone who needs something a little stronger than the average person?
I do. I guess, you know, in comparison to other women, I'm not sure. I don't know what other women really like. But I do like a lot heavier of a vibration. I need something that's, you know, whenever I have a vibrator after like a week or two of using it, I change up the batteries. Like, I want it as strong as possible because it makes for the quickest orgasm. And it's more enjoyable that way. I feel like when it's kind of dull, like I feel like this was pretty dull, it was more of like tickling. And there was some times where, you know, you would change the speed and I'm like, oh, okay, this feels good. This feels good. I like it, you know? But it's not long enough to get so into it where you can actually orgasm. It was more of like, it kind of tickles. And then sometimes it was just like, I just felt this constant vibration, but it didn't do anything for me. So it's kind of annoying. And I feel like that's what happens when you use toys that aren't that strong for women. Like, they'll hold it against them and they have to hold it at a certain angle. Obviously, there's one side of the clit that's more sensitive than the other. But, you know, you hold it there and it's just like, okay, wait, don't move. I can do this. But me sitting up and doing the show and talking, like, it's hard to focus on that one area. So that's why I couldn't get off.
Back up a little bit. There's different sides to the clit that are more sensitive?
Yeah, I think it's the left side.
I didn't really know that.
It's like the left side of the clit. I'm pretty sure it's like the upper left side of the clit that's more sensitive.
This is universal. This is a physical thing amongst
all
women?
Yeah. I mean, I've done research, especially with the job that I've had. Like, I have to do research in order to write all these extensive reports and, you know, write about all these things, because some things I don't personally know. Like, I know the clit's sensitive. It's got almost 8,000 nerve endings. And then when you're touching the clit a certain way, it'll set off over 10,000 other nerve endings that are in your, like, pelvic area. So I know it's like a little tiny muscle that's, like, super sensitive, but there's little areas of it that you can touch that will get you off faster than another area. And I'm pretty sure it's the left side. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I'm pretty sure it's the left side.
Hold that thing up to the mic a little bit.
Oh, here. It sounds stronger than it is. It really does. There you go. Those are the different speeds. Sounds like a scary song. So that's what I was wearing for the entire show. And unfortunately, it didn't get me off. Now I'm just horny. But that's the vibrating panties. You should probably turn it off because if I put it down, it's going
to... My comment on the vibrating panties is that the thing I didn't like about it is that the remote is just one button. And if you're going to do this remote the way that we're doing it, I'm in a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what setting it's on based off of the remote.
Yeah.
The remote gives me no indication as to what setting it's on. So if what I wanted to do is have it off and then just kind of like randomly blast you with it is, yeah. is what I was hoping to be able to do. But you can't really do that with this.
No, like there were some times where I felt that it was kind of dull and then I'm like, ooh, that's a little stronger. It feels good, you know. And
but I have no way of knowing which setting it's on for you. To, you know, if you say I like this setting, I don't know how to go back to it.
Yeah, exactly. We did notice that when you stop it and you try to restart it again, it stops where you left off, so it doesn't start from the beginning. And we try to count it like, all right, you know, the sixth press is like the best vibration. And then we do it and then it's not. It's the wrong one. So it kind of stops where you left off versus starting over.
Yeah.
So the remote's a little funky there. The actual piece itself is really cool because it's, I'm going to put it closer to the camera, but it's shaped, you know, perfectly for the clit. So if you look at it, it's kind of angled from the side there. And you just kind of place it right under there and it gives you like the perfect area. But I think, yeah, the remote needs some work and the pressure was pretty lame. So I don't know. That was the vibrating panties.
So maybe something fun to play around with. Just because the remote kind of makes it a fun thing, but it's not, for you at least, is not something that's going to make you come.
No, it's not for me personally, but there are a lot of women who are very sensitive, and if you are that sensitive, you know, just barely, you know, someone just barely rubbing up against your clit will get you off. Some women, you know, aren't as sensitive and they need a little bit more, and that's perfectly natural, but I think that this would work more for those women that are sensitive. You know, you go out to dinner with your boyfriend or with your husband or whoever, and, you know, you use it as like a little fun thing. Like he's got the controller and you're wearing these panties and like, they're not even panties, but you put them in the panties, you know, and you're eating dinner and he sets it off at random moments. Like that can be really exciting. It really could. I think maybe, the, you know, what I'm doing now, like doing this radio show, like you know, I've got a lot of nerves and I'm live, so it's a little bit harder to focus on the specific vibrations. But I think if you are out to dinner or you're at a movie or, you know, you're with a whole bunch of family and you're trying to be all naughty, you know, and you've got this guy holding the controller, I would imagine it getting off a lot of women. For me personally, though, it didn't really do it, and I'm not sure if I would use that again.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, in terms of power.
Oh.
We have the classic Hitachi magic wand.
Yes. So the Hitachi came from San Francisco, I believe. Pretty sure it's from San Francisco. But this is the original. This is what it looks like. It's got two speeds, and you plug it in, so there's like no battery.
You don't have to worry about batteries.
Oh, my God. This thing. Okay, just give me 1 second. This is the smaller speed. The bigger speed.
Sounds pretty powerful.
Imagine that on a vagina. They actually, when we bought this, they told us, the woman was like, have you used this before? I was like, no, I have not. She's like, well, I recommend you putting a towel, you know, over your vagina or like do it over clothes because it's so powerful. The very first time I used it, I did it for the promo and I kind of just like put it up against my thigh. I was like, holy shit, this thing is so strong. Like, it's so overpowering. I don't know if I can get off by it at all. And eventually, you know, I took it home and I was like, I kind of want to play with it. Like, it's strong. It's up my alley. Like, let's see what happens. So I took it home and played with it. And I noticed if you just barely graze it against the clit, you'll get off in less than a minute. No joke. If you're watching the right amount of porn, you're really turned on. You'll get off just like that. If you put this thing against your vagina at full force, like, you know, here's your clit and there's the vibrator, it might be a little overwhelming. This thing is so ridiculously strong. But it's amazing. It's called the Magic Wand. This is the original.
So the deal with this is that it was originally released.
Hit myself in the face with the vibrator.
It was originally released as a back massager.
Yes, yes. I forgot to mention that.
And I think in the 70s... You know, it was discovered to work for other purposes really well.
Yeah. It definitely works as a massager, and that is what it used to be. And I think, you know, I mean, for example, when I was growing up, I didn't really know that there were vibrators out there. And, you know, my parents had a vibrator. It was like the back massager. And, of course, I grabbed it. And when I first started experimenting with myself, I'm like, oh, what if I put this on my vagina? What's going to happen? you know, but it was like the old school ones, like the really big ones with like the, you know, the top was like this, and there was like bumpy sides on one side and lines on the other side. And then there was like the whole part in the middle. And, you know, I used that a few times on myself and I was like, holy crap, like, you know, you can get off by that. But I guess this one was the original, and it's originally a back massager. And then women started to look for these as a way to please themselves because they're stronger and because it's more of a vibration than your average vibrator that you'd go buy at a sex shop.
Yeah, I mean, you can spend a lot of money on a fancy vibrator at a sex store. And I think the thing that I've heard from many women that nothing beats the Hitachi. So.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know what that was. Jeremy actually told me about it, and I was like, I've got to try this. And you know what? It can work for men, too. It's so strong, I wouldn't actually put it on your, like, ball sack or anything. But, you know, perfect example, if your woman's, like, on top and she's having sex with you, and she's, you know, she's riding you, and she's got this thing, and she's got it, you know, positioned on her clit, I think the vibration is so strong that it can kind of travel down to your balls and to your penis and give you that vibrating sensation as well. And
yeah, it's strong
really
enough that
enjoyable.
It'll travel, you know.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would be really good.
This thing's insane. I highly recommend it. I was very happy with it. You know, if you're going to compare it to the vibrating panties, this thing definitely wins. I'm trying to find anything that's like more exciting about this Hitachi, like something else to know, but that's pretty much it.
It's pretty straightforward.
It is very straightforward. You know, you can use it anytime.
Is it easy to clean?
Yeah. You know, the woman, when I bought it, she said just to put alcohol on the top. So just like rubbing alcohol on the top of it. This one's a little black because I had it against my jeans for the promo. So I, you know, imagine just using a little bit of alcohol will clean it off. But it's not like a, you know, your average dildo where you put it up there and you got to worry about cleaning the entire thing. It's just the top. So you just rub it down with some alcohol, put it aside, and there you go. But I highly recommend this. I think every woman should have this. It will change your life forever. It really will. It's great.
So there you go, Kate Ryder.
There you go, Kate Ryder. It's me. I really hope you enjoyed the show. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I hope that you guys tune in for next week. You can catch me every Sunday, again, at Skid Row Studios. SkidRowStudios.com, just look for the Sweet Release. And if you miss it live, you can always, you know, tune in with us on iTunes and download the podcast.
6 to 7 p.m.
6 to 7 PST, exactly. Every Sunday, I really hope that you guys tune in. And I'd love to hear your feedback and your story. So I'm going to go ahead and post something soon on my Facebook so that you guys can kind of email me and we'll make this cool conversation kind of thing. Don't be afraid to call. I don't bite. Again, this is Kate Ryder. You're listening to The Sweet Release. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.